Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And look at that. It's like we do it every week, almost. We are here with our guest, Oscar Braun. And
Oscar Knows.
K-N-O-W-S. That's, you'll have to listen to the first part. We can't possibly recap that all for you.
Kind of like the Shadow Knows.
Yeah, exactly. Do you remember
it's
that?
Oscar.
Yeah. Well, that's aging you.
I know. I love the Shadow. That was like, hurry up, it's on. Oh, that was the best. Where would you like to start? Would you like to go back to court or launch forward?
I go back to court, and then I think we're going to move very quickly here and get into the basis of why the EnviroBank, and when I say the EnviroBank, I'm talking now, I'll be talking about the U.S. EnviroBank.
Okay.
So we're now in January of 2012, and the court is frustrated because things are just dragging on and on, and the trustees still haven't found a replacement law firm that can take on our case for my wife and myself. So he orders, he says, Mr. Braun, I want you to have a settlement conference with Mr. Strauss, the lead counsel for Capital One. So I meet with him, and he was a very, very bright attorney, and I'd say a very ethical attorney. I wasn't in love with his personality, but he was, a man of integrity is the best way I would say it. Anyway, I asked him one of the questions. Let me ask you, why didn't you guys just take the property when I literally offered the keys to Chevy Chase Bank, and I said, we can no longer continue funding either the mortgage or the cost in bringing the property into
compliance.
Into compliance. And he said, well, you've got that 50-year lease that you entered into in 2004, which predates Chevy Chase Bank's loan in 2006, so it's not breakable. And this property is virtually impossible to sell because of the lease. And the only water source that remains at that time was the well that was the residential well that is located on the leased portion. And the lease, it is leased to the foundation, to the California Watershed Posse. So I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, I'm not in a position to give you advice. He said, but you might want to actually record that against the deed. And I said, okay, I'll pass that on to my attorneys when we get one. So anyway, there were other things we discussed, but there was no outcomes to that meeting as far as the settlement goes. So a few months later, we get two fabulous attorneys with a great deal of experience in Chapter 11s that are located here on the peninsula. And they represented us in court, and I shared with them the feedback that I got from opposing counsel in the settlement. And so I said, okay, well, you're definitely going to do that. And while you're at it, because of the nature of the property, we're gonna look into seeing if we can register to record to their deed a document known as environmental restrictions. And it goes with the property in perpetuity, and essentially, it points out that it's an environmentally polluted property. All the background documents are there, and when I say background documents, again, I'm talking about court documents or government documents, investigations that have been done in the past on the property. So I had that done, and in December of 2012, recorded both the 50-year lease and the environmental restrictions. With the approval, everything has to come with the approval of the court. So we're into 2013, and the judge is, at this point, pretty darn livid that they haven't foreclosed on the property. He wants to get this case off the docket, and it would be a bullet to get it done, and if they would just do the foreclosure. So he's putting pressure on Capital One, and then I get a call from Capital One Corporate, and saying, you know, we'd like to have you put the property up for sale. And I said, okay. And we'd like to have you ask $5 million. And I said, okay. So I went down, and they gave me a three-year listing window. So I went down. I acquired a local realtor, and we put it on the market. And at the short sale, $5 million asking price. And I explained to the realtor, who was happened to be a longtime friend and neighbor, I said, you know, this is not going to happen. And, you know, you know, I'm willing to pay you, you know, a nominal fee here as the owner, but it just, you know, you don't need to put any money into this or effort. So lo and behold, out of the blue, you know, we put on multiple listing, we get a call, and it's a gentleman that specializes in distressed properties, was the way he put it. And he says, I'd like to, you know, I'll put $5 million in escrow, and I'd like to, you know, negotiate with the bank. So, sure. So he turned it over to the bank, and his terms were is that they had to have what is known as a phase one and a phase two. Phase one is a surface survey, and a phase two is a soil survey. And they get down and water sampling and things of that sort. So, bank says absolutely going to do it. You know, we're going to, and sure enough, they retain a firm to do it, and a very prominent firm to do the survey. And they have to get the owner's permission, my permission to do it. I said, sure, come on up. And, I provide them, at their request, with all the documents that I have on this property. And the entire Johnson Ranch. And that in itself is over 1,000 pages. So the guy couldn't thank me enough. He went and got whatever he could find at the county records and the city of Half Moon Bay records and issues the phase one. And, the attorney that, the senior attorney that I had had the consult with, you know, he sends it out to, prospective buyer and also to our attorneys. And, this phase one, or phase ones are normally maybe 25, 30 pages. This one's 314 pages.
Wow.
So it just gives you, it gives you the extent, but it has all the court proceedings and the sampling and the date and the poopity. So, and so the lead attorney sends, I says, okay, here this is, and you know, we're going to have a phase two done. In, you know, probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And that communication, by the way, all the communications that I'm just kind of highlighting for you are in the documents. They're all before the court. So, I mean, there's nothing is left out. So anyway, and I call my attorneys, I say, you know, I think Doug might be a little bit confused, or, he's trying to, you know, maybe mislead the client, the buyer, because, and he said, well, why is that? I said, well, phase two, first of all, takes 2 years to complete. You got to go through two wet seasons because we have streams right here. And I said, you know, soil samples, I said, you're not talking about, you know, a 2,500 square foot lot. You know, this portion of the Johnson Ranch alone is, you know, 90 acres. And so, you're talking about a whole lot of holes, and each hole is going to cost about $2,500, and including the lab fee. So I said, we're talking, you know, $500,000, 2 years. I said, it's not going to happen. And sure enough, it never happened. And by the end of 2013, the court was really putting pressure on, you know, you're going to settle this one way or the other. So the settlement agreement is written by the Bronze attorneys and Capital One's attorneys. So they draft it. The court doesn't draft it for them. And so this is what the settlement came down to. That the Bronze, in consideration for this settlement, would vacate the property, vacate the ranch, on April 1st, 2014. and Capital One in consideration would assume, shall assume all the risks and liabilities of the property and shall do all the remediation, written remediation, which means all the statutes pertaining at that time. And they would, lastly, they would indemnify the bronze for, you know, from any liabilities or anything. Otherwise, they're buying it as is. They know what it is. It's the decision to purchase or to foreclose on that property is if they have informed consent. So we sign off on it. We vacate the property. Just to show you how thorough the court is, the court mandated that Capital One would hire what is known as asset managers to come in, videotape the entire property, the hacienda, and see that all the livestock is gone and the condition and this and that and the other, and the place got to be broom clean, what have you. And when the court gets that, then the court requires that Capital One and the bronze sign under oath that, you know, we've complied and we agree to this. So all that's done, but there's a little thing that happens to me that really set up a flag in which I explained to my attorneys, and that was...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Capitalism has reared its, reared its head
you
again.
You got to get out there and get the money.
Exactly. Got to thank those advertisers, because you know what? If you don't thank people, it's just like you just don't care.
Absolutely.
You're listening to We the People. We'll be right back. Share the land, or we could just steal it. What the heck? It's all the same, right? Because what's yours is ours, and what's ours is ours, and it's usually the way the government sees it. All right, back to you, Oscar. Uh-oh. Oscar's in the cone of silence. Oscar?
Oscar?
Hello? Something bad has happened.
Uh-oh, I see the problem. All right, try it now.
Oh, there he is.
There he is, Oscar.
I'm back. I'm here.
He's out there. If Oscar cries in the wilderness and he's alone, can we hear him? No.
No, not if you have the mic
he's
turned
like, hello,
off.
Hello. All right. Well, with that smooth transition, go right ahead. We are such...
Well, let's finish up this saga. So on April 1st, 2014... the parties sign and the court dismisses, the case with prejudice, which means it can't be adjudicated again. And, the best part for me and my wife, discharge our debt of $13.5 million.
Wow.
So we move on and, we don't leave the coast. We lived in El Granada, which is very close by, and then on to, Hawaii last year. So what has this all got to do with the EnviroBank? Well, we had been working on a project for the last 3 years about infrastructure development, specifically about water, and something that is known as the North American Water and Power Act, which is a wonderful plan, and we were planning, as we were leading up to the election, this past election, to present this to the next president, whoever that was. And we didn't know who it was right up to the last moment, of course. So, but the whole thing was going to be about water infrastructure and then how to finance it. And the way to finance it was going to be through the EnviroBank. And the EnviroBank is based upon, monetary policy that was the same policy created by Abraham Lincoln to fund the Civil War. When the Civil War, when Lincoln was inaugurated, by the time he was inaugurated, sworn into office, the South had already, pulled out. And it definitely was going to be war. And so Lincoln turned to the banks and said, what can you do for me? And they said, we'll provide you with all the money you need. And the interest rate was going to be between 24 and 36%. So, impossible. Can't do it. So one of his advisors, suggested to him that they frankly just adopt the same system that, the colonists did before becoming, organized and everything. They created a script. And that was the currency. That was the money. And it wasn't backed by gold or anything. It was backed by the full faith and credit of the people that settled, this nation. So that's what Lincoln did. And that's how he funded the Civil War. And it was money that was created by our treasury, U.S. Treasury, with no interest. And there was no debt. So, of course, Lincoln was assassinated. And shortly after he was assassinated, within just a matter of a few months, the money masters, the banks, the central banks, the Bank of England primarily, convinced our politicians that, we don't need to renew that funding, that creation of currency. So there was no central bank in the United States after Civil War. There were private banks, different states, and they created their own currencies, what have you, but there was no currency of the United States created by the Treasury. So we get to 1913, and from the end of the Civil War to 1913 is literally one of the most prosperous, if not the most prosperous, period for the economy in the United States. Inflation was non-existent, and full employment, what have you. And there are business cycle problems, but nothing that were catastrophic. And then in 1913, with the election of Woodrow Wilson, two things came to pass. And it was first, during the summer months, the income tax was finally created. And then on the eve of Christmas, on the 23rd of December of 1913, the Federal Reserve Bank was created. And what the Federal Reserve Bank, it's not a government entity, it's not a government agency, it's an independent banking. And all the traditional bankers from around the globe run the Federal Reserve. Anyway, they took over and they create the currency. And as we speak today, 97% of all the U.S. currency is created by banks as debt. The mint, the U.S. Treasury, only creates coinage. All the other funds are borrowed in the form of bonds. From the Federal Reserve Bank creates a bond, our Treasury buys them, our Treasury pays interest on them, and then our Treasury gets the money from whom? From us, the taxpayers. So, as we all know, we have a national debt of approximately almost $20 million straight up. And it's projected to go forward by the next 2 or 3 years to be to $24 trillion. There is no way under this system that my children and my grandchildren and future generations will ever be able to get out from the financial slavery in which the system has contrived. JFK, John F. Kennedy, in his presidency, utilized the greenbacks currency, and to the tune of about $4.5 billion, which, by the way, is the amount of money created during the Civil War by President Lincoln. Of course, $4.5 billion went a lot further then than it does certainly today. So, what this whole petition drive to establish the U.S. EnviroBank is to ask President Trump to instruct the U.S. Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, to start issuing digital greenbacks currency to pay off all the federal debts and to pay off student loans and to reduce, if not eliminate, our income taxes, and to fund infrastructure such as the North American Water and Power Lines. Now, that might seem like, God, you know, that's pretty damn extreme. Well, I'm going to share with you something, your listeners, that probably one in a million know, that I discovered in 2012. And that was that in 2011, the first Federal Reserve audit was conducted. And in fact, it was a partial audit. And it was proposed by Ron Paul. And I believe actually Bernie Sanders also requested it. Well, the document was released, the survey was released in 2000 and quietly published. The media, all the media, didn't really want to talk about it, didn't really publicize it. But what it revealed, and it's there for anybody to see themselves, is that $16.1 trillion was released by the Federal Reserve to all their bankers, both nationally and throughout the world. $16.1 trillion. Now, the only portion that we ever heard of was the $700 billion that was requested and approved by the Congress in 2008. So from the time from 2008 until mid-2011, unbeknownst to the public, no communication supposedly between the Congress, the Senate, and the Federal Reserve about what they're doing. We don't know. And, you know, I don't ask anybody that is either listening to this show or has the benefit of reading the petition. I say to you what my mother used to say to me, look it up. So look up, go to Google, look up First Federal Audit 2011. And while you're at it, do something that I've done for the last couple of years. Look up Senate Blocks Audits 2015 and 2016. And in this case, Rand Paul, both those years, in January 2015 and 2016, wanted to put up a bill where there would be annual audits of the Treasury, of the Federal Reserve, so the people of the United States, the taxpayers, the ones that are having to pay for all this debt that we get from the Federal Reserve, is paid for. Well, that's literally financial slavery. You know, there are a huge portion of our nation, possibly half, possibly more than half, that are the never Trumpers.
Right.
Well, I can say one thing for sure. President Trump did not create this monetary system. That is all on the Democrats and their progressive Woodrow Wilson. And at the very least, an honest citizen will ask themselves, why hasn't the Democratic Party, that supposedly is for the working class, for the middle class, why haven't they ever done anything to relieve the burden on our people? And I think we, the people, have the right to know. So the petition, again, strictly asks, in fact, there's two petitions, one shorter than the other, just in case those who don't want to get deep into the reading and the history behind it. But the law is such, we're not, the president does not need the approval of the Congress in order to do this. This is something that's in the Constitution. It is something that has been done before, and it is strictly the president's skill to say, okay, we're going to have digital green vaccines, just like President Kennedy did, just like Lincoln did. Lincoln didn't, obviously didn't have digital. But the new technology that we have to disperse digital currencies is called blockchain. And on the petition itself, there's a little link there that that you'll discover in the first paragraph that explains to you what this Greenback Digital is all about and how it works. And many of the listeners might have heard of Bitcoin. Well, that's just one of, at this point, hundreds of digital encrypted currencies that are being used worldwide. And you know who one of the biggest users are, or who is the biggest user? And the answer is China. And China, which has 1.3 billion people, have been funding their own infrastructure, the largest in the world, projects unbelievable over the last decade. Trillions of dollars, trillions and trillions of dollars, or the equivalent of dollars, whatever their currency is called, that is created by the Chinese bank for internal use. And so, you know, they're not in a position, literally, to start putting tax burdens on one and a third trillion people, because they'll kill them. There'll be a revolution. And their challenge is to keep the economy going so they can employ these people, so they can feed these people, what have you. And if they did it with private sector banks that were paying interest, what have you. Now,
hold that thought. I was trying to find a good spot, but there is no good spot. Sorry.
You got to do what you do.
Just have to launch in like the cake knife. I'm just going to wreck the frosting. All right, we'll be right back.
I'll take a breath and you go to the
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And that's what I call her. And this black on my blue collar is against paint dirt. They work me hard from dawn till dusk. I'm doing double time, couldn't now sweat for a few people. If I see it and the state, well, they make my paycheck look like a big mistake. The tax man takes keys before I see a cent. What they don't give a life on Biddy's feet. I'm addicted to a dollar, and that ain't worth a dime. I pick up my paycheck, pass it on down the line. The more money that I'm making, the less I can call mine. But I'm addicted to a dollar.
Bob's nodding at me. He's like, start talking. And I'm just like, but I like the song. It was fun. all right. So Oscar, what is the, we were talking on the, during the break here, what's the downside of doing this? What do you think the opposition will be?
Well, the opposition will be, oh my gosh, it's just not true. They'll certainly attack the people that have contributed, that are contributors to the petition. I've put the petition based together on all the knowledge that I've accumulated here over the last 3 years. But who the contributors are is there. But the petition itself has the whole plan laid out, and it's less than a page and a half in which to read on the U.S. Enviro Bank Monetary Reform Act. And you click on that link, and it takes you to the two-step plan to national economy, economic reform, and recovery. And it's clear, it's concise, and they literally even provide the Monetary Reform Act in printable version. And it shows what few words that are highlighted in blue that need to be changed in the statute to go to a digital currency. And so it's again, this is nothing new. The only thing that's new here is a public awareness that even exists. And, the media does a great job in constant deflection. Let's concentrate on how we're going to handle the bathroom crisis, whether we're male or female, or we're in transition someplace. But that's the rule of the game. So, but that aside, what are the calls for action that I'm requesting? And the first is to get engaged. And you can do that by going to usenvirobank.com. That'll bring us to our website. And literally, as you arrive at the website, the opening video, which is taking control of our money, automatically goes on. And that was produced by the Public Banking Institute in 2011. And it's excellent, and it's easy to understand. I think it's, comprehension could be held by a fifth grader here. And it's all true and common sense, and it just happens to be, in current time, you'll recognize the players in this video, and they're pointed and to the point. But the system that the U.S. Enviro Bank is going to be modeled after, I'm talking about contemporary, is the Bank of North Dakota. And the Bank of North Dakota is a state bank funded by the state. And it came into creation about 15 or 16. And it's very well alive and profitable. And the big crash in 2008 didn't have any impact of the citizens of North Dakota. Financial impact, I'm talking about the banking system collapsing, what have you. So we have the Chinese model on the newsletter, which is right below the petitions themselves.
I put that whole newsletter right on the page there. So
Right on the page. And on the newsletter, the top thing is the petition itself and a link to get to the petition. And then following that is the Value of Water campaign, what the funding's for the Enviro Bank, U.S. Enviro Bank, or the Enviro Bank of California. And that's the Value of Water Alliance, which has been in existence for the last 3 years, all leading up to last year and the election of the new president, begging him to put up at least $1 trillion in infrastructure funding. But what none of those, the alliance never offered, or anybody ever offered, is, how are we going to fund it? And of course, that's the dialogue that's going on right now as we speak in Washington. Oh, we're going to have to raise the cap, and, we're going to borrow some more money, and who's going to pay for this? Well, the who is always the same. It's we the people that pay for this. So, at the bottom of the petitions, we say, share it with your family and your friends and your community. It's something that they can look at. And read the letter to the president that comes with the petition. these petitions go to the president, and it goes to the president with a letter. And, you know, see if the letter rings true to you. And, you know, this is a solution to save our economy, which is in desperate need, and especially when you think about what we're just living through right now with the hurricane going through Texas and Florida. Those types of things are take years and hundreds of billions of dollars to get back to where they were. And our state's on fire.
Yeah.
And we literally have been spending for many years.
Yeah, it literally is on fire.
Yeah. And our federal government and our state governments are spending all their money on suppression rather than on trying to stewardships or the vegetative management. All our lands throughout the nation have over 100 years of growth. And all the fires we have are catastrophic fires. The largest forest fire in California history was the Rim Fire in the fall of 2013, followed the following season by the adjoining fire, I believe Sequoia, where over 1 million acres were burned. And surrounding the Hetch Hetchy Valley and reservoirs, which impacts the entire Bay Area. Our waters are polluted statewide when we have these type of fires.
Well, they're freaking out about the, you know,
yeah.
any kind of emissions
yeah.
while we're putting all this gigantic particulate into the air. I mean, a little,
yeah.
I did hear a stat at one point. I should have looked it up for today. But, you know, the amount of pollution from vehicles, I don't know, it would take, you know, a million years or something to equal, you know, one of these forest fires. It was just something crazy like that.
Well, I'm gonna give you a truism that is never talked about. And it just goes to what you were saying, okay? Man caused climate change, okay? Does man pollute, mankind pollute? Absolutely. But you know what? Who the biggest polluter is? Mother Nature.
You know? Darn, I was going to pick environmentalists.
And Mother Nature also cleanses itself. It reuses itself. Here's the fact that very few people actually really know, and that is, the amount of water planet Earth has today is the exact same amount as it did several million years ago. Okay? So, death, pollution, recycling, all those things happen. Forests are not meant to stay, you know, never to burn. And, you know, beyond the belief of spotted owls can only live in ancient forests, you know.
Which is a lie.
The case. Yeah, which is of course a lie. They can live in a Kmart sign, up in Oregon. That was proven.
Well, little small note. They were living in the clear cuts over on the coast when I lived over there. They were living in the clear cuts, but that was totally blowing the paradigm. So they caught people, we won't say what agency, with bags of cat food.
Oh, you mean a government agency?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Bags of cat food on the back of ATVs. So they'd slice the bag of cat food, drive through the old growth, and put all this cat food on the forest floor so the rodents would come in so the owls could be photographed in the old growth.
Yeah.
Oh, so they could make their case. It's like the bags of cat food, that was legendary. We better take our last quick break here, and we're going to be back with Oscar Braun till the top of the hour. So you'll have probably 9 hot minutes to wrap her up for us.
I'll do my best.
Thanks. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
My life was all so simple, and the ways of the great world seems strange and funny. Then when I was a young man, I learned of that machine. It turns out all those bales of precious money. We'll be right back.
money, 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 money. From that money machine, now you can better your manhood by it. You can get your children to try it. You can bring your enemies to their knees. With the impossible exception of the North, forget the beast. You take the strong kid from the money machine.
From that money machine.
Last night I had a crazy dream. I met a man who invented a money machine. He said, I know things are tight and times are tough, but he'd give me the machine if I give you up. I just looked him in the eye and I said, no thanks, honey, your love's better than money in the bank.
Well, I think we just found the theme song.
You sure did.
Classic. He invented a money machine.
And we gave Oscar some James Taylor going into the break there.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even notice. Gosh,
James
Bob,
Taylor's a money machine.
Glad one of us pays attention. Nice job, Bob. All right, Oscar, where do you want to wrap this up for folks?
Well, I tell you, I want to wrap it up with an invitation.
All righty.
And that is, I'm asking all that that hears this, or all that hears of this petition, which was written, by the way, the California Watershed Posse, yours truly, to get engaged, to at least look at it. And I'll remind you that, you know, this is a super great opportunity for us to provide our children, and I'm talking about those under 18, as well as those above 18.
So not like the dreamer children that are 40 years old?
That's
I'm sorry.
Considering the minor considerably older than that, I'll have to say, yeah. Oh, I love them over 40 years old, of course. They're my favorite. But anybody can sign a petition. That's our First Amendment right. And these days getting harder and harder to hold on to any of our rights. It's almost the First Amendment seems to be the one that's greatest under threat right now. But have them, you know, they're the ones that have to take the burden going forward. Ask them what their preference would be. Do they want Honest Abe Lincoln's approach? Would they like to be able to be on the same footing, so to speak, as Chinese? In you know, providing their citizens, their people, with the services that government should be providing, and also providing the currency debt-free so that for the consumers. So, you know, engage, when I say your entire family, I mean your entire family. And if they don't, if they're young enough, they don't have an email, well, you know what? You can use mom or dad's emails or a friend's
email. Actually, it's more likely the kids would have the email. And the parents will have to use
it. Oh, yeah. You know, exactly. I tell you, when I need to have anything, I turn to my grandsons if they're available, or I have a nephew that has been taking care of me ever since he's 8 years old, and he's going to be 15, 16 actually here very quickly. So, but go to the kids. They'll understand. They've got a real sense, you know, if you think back in the during the election, whether it be Ron Paul or Rand, they got a lot of the millennials supporting them. And these are things that, Rand Paul and Ron, talked about. And again, it's beyond dispute what the reality is and what the history is. And, the nation literally cannot exist under this, Federal Reserve system. And countries throughout the world, I mentioned China, but there's, the countries throughout the world are, you're talking about at least over 120 of them, have already started to transition into these digital blockchain currencies because they cannot pay the interest. You know, And the world cannot go into global depression. We don't need that. We got enough problems. And so this is something that is within the power of our president, within the power of the Congress to support them. And, you know, and will there be a tax on it? I'm sure there is. But I'm suggesting that, you know, a great call to action is talk to your local congressman. Chances are that wherever you are, you like your guy or you like your woman. And you know, ask them to support this petition, to support the president, to support the people in being provided debt-free, interest-free credit. And again, there's nothing new to this. The applications can be used for infrastructure, but it also can be used for health care. I am literally working on a petition that is going to be regarding health care. And I'm calling it, you know, healthy self credit. But if you break out healthy self, it's heal thyself credit. And it's funding that can be provided interest free to the populace and to take care of their health from beginning to end. And there's things the government can do if it has the power to do, and it's that any healthcare services that are paid with a federal Heal Thyself credit will indemnify the provider. What does that mean? Well, that means that the provider doesn't have to charge you excessive charges because of malpractice insurance and all these regulations and this and that and the other. So we most likely would be able to cut the cost in half. The same difference between buying a bond in order to finance from the Federal Reserve to finance a bridge, a dam, a school, whatever the case might be. The average, nationwide average, the interest is 10.8%. So, you know, a $100,000 project usually ends up costing $220,000 to $240,000 over a 30-year term. That's a bad deal. Or to quote the president, it's rigged. So I think that, I know that our nation and our Declaration of Independence, it is the consent of the governed. And I think it's time that we the people consent to the type of monetary system we have. We never were sought out by the Wilson administration or the Democrats.
No,
and they kept it to themselves.
Well, there's a lot of information, and we've put the links on there. But people, once they get reading, you can read and read and read. The site is very, very deep. Thanks a lot, Oscar, for joining us. Hope you have a
well. Thank you for having me.
Lovely
you guys
day.
Are terrific.
And yeah, enjoy Honolulu. You can live
gotcha.
On. You can live on vacation for us.
There you go.
I'll do my best.
Much appreciated. Well, I guess we'll sign Oscar nose off and Bill's nose off and take it over and find out what's wrong with it. We have an exciting day planned. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And you're listening on KCNR Shasta Redding.